Listen, listen. I am doing it. Hark, the corn entreats, and the last notes prickle. It was of a night late, lang time agone, in an all-stain-eld, when Adam was delvin, and his madam e'en spinning water-silt, when Mulk Mountie Naughty Man was every bully, and the first leal ribber robber that ever had her ain way, everybody to his love-saking eyes, and every billy lived a love with everybody else, and Jarl Van Hooter had his burnt head high up in his lamp-house, laying cold hands on himself. And his two little Jiminies, cousins of own, Christopher and Hilary, were kick-a-heeling their dummy on the oil-cloth floor of his homery castle and earthen house. And Bedermot, who come to the keep of his inn, only the niece of his in-law, the prank queen. And the prank queen pulled a rosy one, and made her wit for ninth the door, and she lit up, and fireland with a blaze. And spoke she to the door in her petty Perusian, "Mark the one, why do I am a look-alike a pass of porter peas?" And that was how the skirtmishes began. But the door hand-worded her grace in Dooch Nassau shut. So her grace a malice kid snapped up the Jiminy Christopher, and into the shandy westerner she rain. And Jarl Van Hooter warlessed after her with soft dove's gall, "Stop, thief, stop, come back to my earin, stop." But she swarred into him, "Unlikelihood." And there was a bran a whale that same Sabbath night, a falling angle somewhere in Aerial. And the prank queen went for her 40 years' walk in Tour Le Monde, and she washed the blessings of the love spots off the Jiminy with soaps all of a suddle, and she had her 4 owlers masters for to torch him his tickles, and she converted him to the one sure all good, and he became a looder man. So then she started to rain and to rain, and be red, Tom, she was back again at Jarl Van Hooter's in a brace of samer, and the Jiminy with her in her pinafron, lace at night at another time. And where did she come but to the bar of his bristlery? And Jarl Van Hooter had his Bertala bruised heels drowned in his cellar moth, shaking warm hands with himself, and the Jiminy Hillary and the dummy in their first infancy were below on the tear sheet, ringing and coughing like brother and sister. And the prank queen nipped a paley one, and lit up again, and red cocks flew flackering from the hill coast. And she made her witter before the wicked, saying, "Mark the twy, why do I am a look-alike two pots of porter peas?" "And shut," says the wicked, hand-whirling her majesty. So her majesty aforethought set down a Jiminy and took up a Jiminy, and all the lily-path ways to woman's land she rain. And Jarl Van Hooter bleated at her with a loud fine gale, "Stop, dumb, stop, come back with my earrings, stop." But the prank queen swarred it, "I'm liking it." And there was a wild old granuel that Lawrence night of star shootings somewhere in Aerio. And the prank queen went for her 40 years' walk in Tournamine, and she punched the curses of Crom Cruel with the nail of a top into the Jiminy, and she had her 4 larksical monotricks to touch him his tears, and she provorted him to the one certain all secure, and he became a Tristian. So then she started raining, and in a pair of changers, bedommed her, she was back again at Jarl Van Hooter's, and the Larry Hill with her under her abramet. And why would she halt at all, if not by the ward of his mansion home, of another nice lace for the third charm? And Jarl Van Hooter had his hurricane hips up to his pantry box, ruminating in his hold 4 stomachs, "Dare, oh, dare." And the Jiminy Tuffer Trees and the dummy were below on the watercloth, kissing and spitting and roguing and poguing like knave paltry and naive bride, and in their second infancy. And the prank queen picked a blank and lit out, and the valleys lay twinkling. And she made her wittest in front of the archway of Trihumble, asking, "Mark the tryst, why do I am a look-alike 3 pots of porter peas?" But that was how the skirtmishes end up. For like the Campbells a-coming with a fork-lance of lightning, Jarl Van Hooterbone urges himself, the old terror of the dames, came hip-hop-handy-hap out through the pike-opened archway of his 3 shuttened castles, in his broad ginger hat, and his civic collar, and his alabuff hemmed, and his bull-braggin socks and gloves, and his Ladbroke breeks, and his catgut bandolier, and his fur-framed, penuncular combat, like a Rod Yellen Grooveleen Orange Man in his violet indigo nation, to the whole length of the strength of his bowman's belt. And he clopped his rude hand to his easy hitch, and he ordered, and his thick sputch spoke for her to shut up shop dappy. And the duppy shot the shutter clop, for cod husker and bargerwai gok gorley or grum gremit gunda thumma thunder a diddly fay tiddly bummel a knockin' on. And they all drank free. For one man in his armor was a fat match always for any girl's undershirt. And that was the first piece of alliterative pottery in all the flamin' floody flatuous world. How Kirsty the tiler made a sweet unclothes to the Narwhelian captain. So for shalt thou see between ye and thee. The prank queen was to hold her dummyship, and the Jiminies was to keep the peace wave, and Van Hoother was to get the window. Thus the hearsomeness of the burgher felicitates the whole of the poly. O Phoenix culprit, ex nihilo malo comes Michaelmast bonum. Hill, rill, ones in company, billeted, lest be proud of, breast high and bestride. Only for that these will not breathe upon Noronason or Irenian, the secretest of their sosolotna. Quare silex, omfri noantro? Undi gentian festines, livia noantro? Vulcan cap is on him, frowned. Or diurient he would eavesdrip, were it mouse at hand, were it din of bottles in the far ear. Murk, his veils are darkling. With lip she lifteth to him all to time a touch on touch, and so on so. She he, she ho, she had to laugh. Hair fluke, if he could but twig her. Impalpabant he abhears. The sound waves are his buffet ears. They tromp him with their tromps. The wave of Rory, and the wave of Hooshed, and the wave of Ha-ha-hard, and the wave of never heed them horse luggers and listle to mine, landlocked by his neighbour mistress, and perpetrified in his offspring, saves and suckers, the moaning pipers could tell him to his face back, the loathly one whose lobe we are devourers of, how but for his hold halibut, or her to her pudder puff, the lip-a-lip one whose lipe we drink at, how biff for her tiddy wink of a windfall, our breed and washer givers, there would not be a holy spire on the town, nor a vester flouting in the dock, nay, to make plain of ours, nor a you nor an I to play cash-cash in Novo Nilbud by swamp light, nor a tool at all, a noddy hint to the convenient. He dug in and dug out by the skill of his tilt, for himself and all belonging to him, and he sweated his crew beneath his auspice for the living, and he earned his dread, that dragon Volant, and he made louse for us and delivered us to Balweevil's domain, that mighty liberator, on fru chikta uru wukru, and begad he did, our ancestor most worshipful, till he thought of a better one in his Windower's house, with that blush mantle upon him from ear's end to ear's end, and would again, could whispering grasses wake him, and may again, when the fiery bird dissembles, and will again, if so be sooth, by elder to his younger shall be said. Have you wines for my wedding? Did you bring bride and bedding? Will you whoop for my deading, is it? Wake, usquid born, and a mockin' drowl, did you drink me dorne? Now be easy, good Mr. Fenimore, sir, and take your leisure like a god on pension, and don't be walking abroad. Sure you'd only lose yourself in Heliopolis now, the way your roads in Capilavaster are that winding there after the Calvary, the Northumbrian, and the Fibs Barrow, and the Wadlings Raid, and the Bower Moor, and wet your feet, maybe, with the foggy dews abroad, meeting some sick old bankrupt, or the Cotterick's donkey with his shoe hanging, clanketa chanketa, or a slut snoring with an impure infant on a bench. 'Twould turn you against life, so 'twould. And the weather's that mean, too, to part from Devlin as hard as Nugent knew, to leave the clean tangles from one lushier than its neighbour enfranchisable fields, but let your ghost have no grief. You're better off, sir, where you are, prime signed in the full of your dress, blood eagle waistcoat and all, remembering your shapes and sizes on the pillow of your baby curls under your sycamore by the Keld water where the Tories clay will scare the varmints and have all you want, pouch, gloves, flask, bricket, kerchief, ring, and umbrella, the whole treasure of the pyre, in the land of souls with poor men, and Broin, Baroque, and Paul or Lonan, and Nobuchadnezzar, and the Genghis Khan. And we'll be coming here, the umber players, to rake your gravel and bringing your presents, won't we, Fenian? And it isn't our spittle we'll stint you of, is it, Druids? Not shabby little image. Penny dirts and dodge me eyes you buy in the sooty stores. But offerings of the field, meliodories that Dr. Farty, the medicine man, taught to good me. Poppy pats the passport out. And honey is the holiest thing ever was, hive, comb, and earwax. The food for glory, mind you keep the pot or your nectar cup may yield too light, and some goat's milk, sir, like the maid used to bring you. Your fame is spreading like basilico's ointment, since the Fintan Lallers piped you over border, and the whole household's beyond the Bothnians, and they calling names at you. The men here's always talking of you, sitting around on the pig's cheeks under the sacred roof tree, over the bowls of memory, where every hollow hole's a hallow with a pledge till the drang's in the salmon house. And admiring to our super shillelagh, where the palm sweat on high is the mark of your manhood. All the toothpicks ever Ernesians chewed on are chips chipped from that battery block. If you were bowed and soiled and let down itself from the honor of the load, it was that paddy planters might pack up plenty. And when you were undone in every point for the lapse of goddesses, you showed our labor lasses how to free with easy. The game old gun, they do be saying. Skull, that was a planter for you, a spicer of them all. Begad, but he was the G.O.G. He's dud and gun now, and we're after finding the sores of his steddick. But peace to his great limbs, the buttock, with the last league-long rest of him, while the million candled eye of Tothgar sweeps the Moylian main. There was never a warlord in Great Arran's and Bretland, no, nor in all Pike County like you, they say. No, nor a king, nor an Ard king, Bung king, Sung king, or Hung king, that you could fell an elm tree, 12 urchins couldn't ring round, and hoist high the stone that Liam failed. Who but a MacCullagh More, the riser of our fortunes and the farny man at the funeral, to compass our cause? If you was Hoggle Bully itself, and most thrifty, like you was taking water still, what or where was your like to lay the cable, or who was the batter could better your grace? Mick McMagnus Macaulay can take you off to the pure perfection, and Leatherbags Reynolds tries your shuffle and cut. But as Hopkins and Hopkins puts it, you were the pale eggy naggy and a kiss to Tilliop. We calls him the journey old Bugalov, since he went Jerusalem faring in Arcia manner. You had a gamier cock than Pete, Jake, or Martin, and your arch goose of geese stubbled for All Angels' Day. So may the priest of seven worms and scalding tayboil, Papa Vestre, come never anear you as your hair grows wheater beside the liffy that's in heaven. Hep, hep, hurrah there! Hero, seven times there too we salute you. The whole bag of kits, falcon plumes and jackboots encloted is where you flung them that time. Your heart is in the system of the she-wolf, and your crested head is in the Tropic of Capricorn. Your feet are in the cloister of Virgo. Your olala is in the region of Sahels. And that's as sure as you were born. Your shock ticks swell, and that there Texas is tow-linen. The lonesome roam to Lafayette is ended. Drop in your tracks, babe. Be not unrested. The head bodle watcher at the temple of Isid, Totum Calmum, saith, I know thee, Methodraw. I know thee, salvation boat. For we have performed upon thee, thou abramination, who comest ever without being invoked, whose coming is unknown, all the things which the company of the precentors and of the grammarians of Christ Patrick's ordered concerning thee in the matter of the work of thy tombing. How of the shipmen, steep wall. Everything's going on the same, or so it appeals to all of us in the old homestead here. Coughings all over the sanctuary, bad scrant to me, Aunt Florenza. The horn for breakfast, one a gong for lunch and dinner chime. As popular as when Belly the First was king and his members met in the Diet of Man. The same shop slop in the window, Jacob's letter crackers, and Dr. Tipple's Vi Coco, and the Eswards' dissipated soup beside Mother Siegel's syrup. Meat took a drop when Riley Parsons failed. Coal's short, but with plenty of bog in the yard. And barley's up again, begrained to it. The lads is attending school lessons regular, sir, spelling bee's knees with hatapensy, and turning out tables by mud application. All for the books, and never pegging smashes after Tombo Glassarse or Timmy the Tosser. 'Tis rarely the truth. No, isn't it, Roman Patrick? You were the double-jointed janitor the morning they were delivered, and you'll be a grand for yet entirely when the right hand seizes what the love arm knows. Kevin's just a dolt, with his cherub cheek, chalking ogres on walls, and his little lamp and school belt and bag of nicks, playing postman's knock round the diggings, and if the seep were milk, you could lead his ord by his eye, but, Lord's sake, the devil does be in that nerps of a Jerry sometimes, the Tarantan plaid boy, making an cost of income out of the last of his lavings, and writing a blue streak over his birthday shirt. Etty Jane's a child of Mary. She'll be coming, for they're sure to choose her, in her white of gold with a torch of ivy, to rekindle the flame on Felix Day. But Essie Shanahan has let down her skirts. You remember Essie in our Luna's convent? They called her Holly Mary. Her lips were so ruddy berry, and Pia de Purabel when the Red Miners' riots was on about her. Were I a clerk designate to the Williams Woods manufacturers, I'd poster those pouters on every jam in town. She's making her rep at Lanner's twice nightly, with the tabarine tam-tammers of the whirligig McGee's. Beats that cachucha flat. 'Twould dilate your heart to go. Easy now, you decent man, with your knees, and lie quiet, and repose your honour's lordship. Hold him here, Ezekiel Irons, and may God strengthen you. It's our warm spirits, boys, he's spooring. Demetrius O'Flaganan, Cork, that cure for the clan cart is. You swamped enough since Portobello to float the Pomeroy. Fetch me here, Pat Coy, and fetch no you, Pam Yates. Be neither angst of Ramowich. Here's Lumbos, where mist is swaddlem, where mischief's lodge none, where mystery's pour kind on, O sleepy. So be ye. I've an eye on queer bein', and old Kate and the butter, trust me. She'll do no juggly-wuggly with her war souvenir postcards to help to build me Muriel tippers. I'll trip your traps. Assure there. And we put on your clock again, Sir Folio. Did or didn't we, share stutterers? So you won't be up a stump entirely, nor shed your remnants, the stern wheels crawling strong. I seen your missus in the hall, like the Queen of Air. Ara, it's herself that's fine too, don't be talking. Shirk then. You story and Harry chap, long o' me Harry chap, story and grass woman, plenty good trout. Shakes hand. Dibble a hay fork's wrong with her, only her necks at Sally. Bold Tib, there's be yawning and smirking cat's hours on the Pollux's woolly round tabaret cushion, watching her sewing a dream together, the tailor's daughter, stitched to her lap. Or, while waiting for winter to fire the enchantment, decoying more nesters to fall down the flue, it's an avalanche that blows no pussy food. If you only were there to explain the meaning, best of men, and talk to her nice of gold and silver, the lips would moisten once again, as when you drove with her to Findrinny Fair. What with reins here and ribbons there, all your hands were employed, so she never knew were she on land or at sea, or swooped through the blue like Erwinger's bride. She was flirtsome then, and she's fluttersome yet. She can second a song and adores a scandal when the last post's gone by. Fond of a concertina and pears passing when she's had a 40 winks for supper after Cane Cannon and Abley Dimpling, and is in her Merlin chair assotted, reading her Evening World, to see is it smarts, full length, or swaggers. News, news, all the news. Death, a leopard, kills fella in Fez. Angry scenes at Stormont. Still a star with her lucky and going aways. Opportunity fair with the China flood. And we hear these rosy rumours. Ding tams, he noise about all same Harry chap. She's seeking her way, a chickle a chuckle, in and out of their serial story, Les Loves of Selska et Pervenche, freely adapted to the Norwegian zip. There'll be bluebells blowing in salty sepulchres the night she signs her final tear. The end. But that's a world of ways away, till Tracklaw's time. No silver ash or switches for that one, while flattering candles flare. Anastasis, how are you? Worth her waste in the noblest, says Adams and Sons, the would-pay actioneers. Her hair's as brown as ever it was, and wivy and wavy. Repose, you know. Finn no more. For, be that same sake sib substitute of a hooky salmon, there's already a big, roddy ram-lad at random on the premises of his haunt of the Hungred Bordels, as it is told me, shop illicit, flourishing like a Lord Major or a boa-boa-be-boom, letting flop a dead loffa loose to leave at lifting a Ben Branch yard along Ivoy on the breezy side for Shome, the height of Brewster's chimney, and as broad below as Phineas Barnum, humping his share of the shouters, is sinking on him, he's such a grandfather, with a pocked wife in pickle that's a fly-fire, and three lice little clinkers, two twilling bugs, and one midget pucelle. And either he cursed and recursed, and was ever seen doing what your four-footless saw, or he was never done seeing what you cool pigeons know, weep the clouds aboon for smile-down witnesses, and that'll do now about the fairy he's and the fraily she's. So Esset fibble it to the zephyr, and arts a zoom it round her heaven forever. Creator, he has created for his creatured ones a creation. White monothoid, red theatrocrat, and all the pink prophets coalescing? Very much so, but however twas, 'tis sure for one thing what Sheriff Tora voucher for, and Map Kick makes put out, that the man, Hum the Cheekna-esque, overseen as we thought him, yet a worthy of the name, came at this time-coloured place, where we live in our parochial firmament, one tied on another, with a bum rush and a hull of a wherry, the twin turbine dhow, the bay for dibbling, this archipelago's first visiting schooner, with a Wicklow pattern waxen wench at her prow for a figurehead, the Dead Sea dugong up dip dripping from his depth, and has been repreaching himself like a fish mama these 60 10 years ever since, his chevy by his side, ardy and aid, growing whorish under his turban, and changing cane sugar into cellulose starch, tutter says to him, as also the bat and the bulky hood he bloats about when inebriated, our old offender was humile, commune, and insectuous from his nature, which you may gauge after the by-names was put under him in lashings of languages, on in suit and praisers be, and totalizating him, even hammis him of himis him, that he, sober serious, he is he, and no counter he, who will be ultimately responsible for the hubbub caused in Edinburgh. Now, to forbear for ever so little of iris trees and lily orangans concerning the genesis of Harold or Humphrey Chimpton's occupational agnomen. We are back in the pre-surnames prodromerous period, of course, just when Enos chalked hall traps, and discarding once for all those theories from older sources which would link him back with such pivotal ancestors as the Glues, the Gravies, the Northeasts, the Anchors, and the Erikers of Sidlesham in the Hundred of Manhood, or proclaim him offsprout of Vikings who had founded Wapentake and settled him in Herrick or Eric. The best authenticated version, the Dumlat, read the reading of Hofed ben Edda, has it that it was this way. We are told how in the beginning it came to pass that like cabbaging Cincinnatus, the grand old gardener was saving daylight under his redwood tree one sultry Sabbath afternoon, Hag Chivichas Eve, in pre-fall paradise peace, by following his plough for rootles in the rear garden of Mob House, Ye Old Marine Hotel, when royalty was announced by Runner to have been pleased to have halted itself on the high road, along which a leisure-loving dog fox had cast, followed also at a walking pace by a lady pack of cocker spaniels. Forgetful of all, save his vassals' plain fealty to the ethnarch, Humphrey, or Harold, stayed not to yoke or saddle, but stumbled out hot-faced as he was, his sweatful bandana loose from his pocket-coat, hasting to the forecourts of his public inn to pee, surcingle, solar scarf and plaid, plus fours, puttees and bulldog boots, ruddled cinnabar with flagrant marl, jingling his turnpike keys and bearing aloft amid the fixed pikes of the hunting party, a high perch atop of which a flower pot was fixed, earthside hoist with care. On His Majesty, who was, or often feigned to be, noticeably long-sighted from green youth, and had been meaning to inquire what, in effect, had caused yon causeway to be thus potholed, asking substitutionally to be put wise as to whether Paternoster and Silver Doctors were not now more fancied bait for lobster trapping, honest, blunt Haromfreld answered in no uncertain tones very similarly, with a fearless forehead, "No, yer maggers! Ah, we're just a catching on ton bloggy airwoggers." Our sailor king, who was draining a gugglet of obvious Adam ale, gift both and gorban, upon this, ceasing to swallow, smiled most heartily beneath his walrus moustaches, and indulging that none too genial humour which William the Conk on the spindle side had inherited with the hereditary white lock and some short-fingeredness from his great-aunt Sophie, turned towards two of his retinue of gallows glasses, Michael, Etheling Lord of Laish and Offaly, and the Jubilee Mayor of Drogheda, Elcock, the two scatterguns being Michael M. Manning, proto-syndic of Waterford, and an Italian excellency named Jubilee, according to a later version cited by the learned scholarch Canavan of Can Make Noise, in either case a triptychal religious family, symbolizing puritas of doctrina, business per usual, and the perchy patch of hamlock where the paddish praties grow, and remarked dulcy-dulcily, "Holy bones of St. Hubert! How our red brother of poor Ingrania would audibly fume, did he know that we have, for Sir Trusty Bailiwick, a turnpiker, who is by turns a pike-bailer no seldomer than an earwigger. For he kin John Peel with his court so grey, and his haunts in his house in the morning." One still hears that pebble-crusted laughter, jappy-japp cheery-cherily, among the roadside tree the lady home Patrick planted, and still one feels the amossive silence of the cladstone, a ledgy belling, "I've me's outside born." Comes the question, are these the facts of his nominee gentilization, as recorded and accolated in both or either of the collateral Andrew Paul Murphic narratives? Are those their fata, which we read in Sibylline between the fas and its nefas? No dung on the road? And shall Nohomaya be our place like? Yea, Malachi, our King of Balkan? We shall perhaps not so soon see. Pink ponks that bail for seeks a license where come scepters with centaurs stay. Bear in mind, son of Hukma, if so be you have Metheg in your midness, this man is mountain, and unto change doth one ascend. Heave we aside the fallacy, as punical as finnikin, that it was not the king self, but his inseparable sisters, uncontrollable night-talkers, skirtsy raised with Donyazad, who afterwards, when the robbers shot up the socialites, came down into the world as amusers, and were staged by Madame Sudlow as Rosa and Lily Miskinget in the pantomime the two pits patronosed, Miliodorus and Galatea. The great fact emerges that after that historic date, all holographs so far exhumed, initialed by Haromfre, bear the sigla H.C.E. And while he was only and long and always good Duke Humphrey for the Hungerline Spalpines of Luca Lizard and Chimbers to his cronies, it was equally certainly a pleasant turn of the populace, which gave him, as sense of those normative letters, the nickname, "Here comes everybody." An imposing everybody he always indeed looked, constantly the same as and equal to himself, and magnificently well worthy of any and all such universalization, every time he continually surveyed, amid vociferatings from in front of "Accept these few nutties and take off that white hat," relieved with "Stop his grog and put it in the log," and lutes in his bass vocal boots. From good start to happy finish, the truly Catholic assemblage gathered together in that King's Street house of satin lustre-like above floats and footlights, from their Asbol Velts and Ox gangs, unanimously to clap-laud the inspiration of his lifetime and the hits of their careers, Mr. Wallenstein Washington Semper Kelly's Immergreen Tourers, in a command performance by special request, with the courteous permission for pious purposes, the home-roamed and enlivened performance of the problem passion play of the millenary, running strong since creation, a royal divorce, then near the approach towards the summit of its climax, with ambitious interval band selections from the Bow Girl and the Lily on all horsery show command nights, from his vice-regal booth, his Barcelona is ceilinged there a cuckoo spit less eminent than the red ritual hoods of McCabe and Cullen, where a veritable Napoleon the Nth, our world stages, practical joke piece and retired Celtico comedian in his own wise, this folk's forefather all of the time sat, having the entirety of his house about him, with the invariable broad-stretched kerchief cooling his whole neck, nape and shoulder blades, and in a wardrobe-paneled tuxedo, completely thrown back from a shirt well entitled a swallow-all, on every point far outstarching the laundered claw-hammers and marble-topped highboys of the pit stalls and early amphitheatre. The piece was this. Look at the lamps. The cast was thus. See under the clock. Ladies' circle, folks may be left. Pit, proma and parterre, standing room only. Habituals conspicuously emergent. A baser meaning has been read into these characters, the literal sense of which decency can safely scarcely hint. It has been blurtingly bruited by certain wisecrackers, the stinks of Moharata in the night plots of the morning, that he suffered from a vile disease. Athma, unmanner them to such a suggestion. The one self-respecting answer is to affirm that there are certain statements which ought not to be, and one should like to hope to be able to add, ought not to be allowed to be made. Or have his detractors, who, an imperfectly warm-blooded race, apparently conceive him as a great white caterpillar, capable of any and every enormity in the calendar, recorded to the discredit of the Duke and Kellycake families, mended their case by insinuating that, alternately, he lay at one time under the ludicrous imputation of annoying Welsh Fusiliers in the People's Park. Hey, 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 hock, 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 fawn and flora on the lee, love that little old jock. To anyone who knew and loved the Christ-likeness of the big, clean-minded giant H.C. Erica throughout his excellency-long vice-regal existence, the mere suggestion of him as a lust sleuth nosing for trouble in a booby trap rings particularly preposterous. Truth, beard on profit, compels one to add that there is said to have been quondam, fuit, fuit, some case of the kind, implicating, it is interdum believed, a quidam, if he did not exist, it would be necessary quoniam to invent him, about that time, stambling around Dumbling in leaky sneakers with his Tark record, who has remained topantically anonymous, but, let us cue him, Abdullah Gamalaksaksky, was, it is stated, posted at Mallon's at the instance of watch warriors of the Vigilance Committee, and years afterwards, cries one even greater, Ibid, a commender of the frightful, seemingly unto such as were Sulhan sated, propped head, fiat, fiat, waiting his first of the month food's turn for that choppa kabak salikubi on the old house for the charge hard, roach haddocks off Hawkins Street. Lo, you blondie liar, Gob seen you in the narked place, and she what's Edith our home defileth these boils. There's a cab full of bash indeed in the omer of that meal. Slander, let it lie its flattest, has never been able to convict our good and great and no ordinary Southron Erica, that homogeneous man, as a pious author called him, of any graver impropriety than that advanced by some Woodwards or Regardas, who did not dare deny the Shomers that they had Chinted, Chintam, Chinchintapid that day consumed their soul of the corn, of having behaved with ungentlemanly immodus opposite a pair of dainty maidservants in the swooth of the rushy hollow, whither, or so the two gun and pimmers pleaded, Dame Nature in all innocency had spontaneously and about the same hour of the eventide sent them both, but whose published combinations of silk inlaid testimonies are, where not dubiously pure, visibly divergent as warped from wept, on minor points touching the intimate nature of this, a first offence in vert or venison, which was admittedly an incautious, but at its wildest, a partial exposure, with such attenuating circumstances, garden gaddeth green, where soakman brideth girling, as an abnormal St. Swithin summer, and Jess's rose a Sharon, a ripe occasion to provoke it. We can't do without them. Wives, rush to the rest yours. Of man will to man when lead is the lull. This is Arcadem, Villaplich, Vallapluck. Fick up for flesh Nelly, El Mundo Nov, Zole Flen. If she's a Lilith, pull early, Pauline allow, and Mailer's a bushed, keep black, keep black. Guiltless of much laid to him he was, clearly, for once at least, he clearly expressed himself as being, with still a trace of his erstwhile burr, and hence it has been received of us, that it is true. They tell the story, an amalgam as absorbing as calcium chlorides and hydrophobe sponges could make it, how one happy-go-gusty-ides of April morning, the anniversary, as it fell out, of his first assumption of his birthday suit, and writes in appurtenance to the confusioning of human races, ages and ages after the alleged misdemeanor, when the tried friend of all creation, Tigerwood Roadstaff to his stay, was billowing across the wide expanse of our greatest park in his caoutchouc kepi and great belt and hide-in sacks, and his Blaufunk's fustian, and Ironside's jackboots and bagafat gaiters, and his rubberized Inverness, he met a cad with a pipe. End of side one. To continue, turn the cassette over. Continuing on page 35. The latter, the luciferant, not the aureolate, who the odds are is still berthing Dagobert in the same straw bamer, carrying his overgoat under his shoulder sheepside out, so as to look more like a country gentleman, and signing the pledge as gaily as you please, hardily accosted him with Guinness Thartool and Jumidin Roselfin, a nice how-do-you-do in pool black at the time, as some of our old dazers may still tremblingly recall, to ask, could he tell him how much o'clock it was that the clock struck, had he any idea by cock's luck as his watch was Braddy's? Hesitancy was clearly to be evitated, execration as cleverly to be onisoid. The Erica of that spurring instant, realizing, on fundamental liberal principles, the supreme importance, nexally and noxily, of physical life, the nearest help relay being ping-ping, K.O. St. Patrick's Day and the Fenian Rising, and unwishful as he felt of being hurled into eternity right then, plugged by a soft-nosed bullet from the sap, halted quick on the draw, and replying that he was feeling tipstaff, Q, produced from his gun pocket his Jurgensen Shrapnel Waterbury, ours by communionism, his by user capture, but on the same stroke hearing above the skirling of harsh Mother East, old Fox Goodman, the bellmaster, over the wastes to south, at work upon the 10-ton tonuant thunderous tenatola in the speckled church, Cahoonen's Call, told the inquiring kid by Jehovah it was 12 of M sidereal and tankard time, adding but all, as he bended deeply with smoked sardinish breath to give more pondus to the copper stick he presented, though this seems in some confusion with the chap-stuck ginger, which, as being of sours, acids, salts, sweets, and bitters compounded, we know him to have used as chaw-chaw for bone, muscle, blood, flesh, and vim vital, that whereas the Hakuse accusation against him had been made, what was known in high quarters as was stood stated in Morgan's Post, by a creature in human form, who was quite beneath par, and several degrees lower than your triple hydrid snake. in greater support of his word, it, quaint anticipation of a famous phrase, has been reconstricted out of oral style into the verbal for all time, with ritual rhythmics, inquiratory quietude, and to salmon stucked from successive accounts by Noah Webster in the redaction known as the Sayings Attributive of H.C. Erica, prize on shillings, post-lots free. The flaxen gigas tapped his chronometrum drum-drum, and now standing full erect above the ambijacent floodplain, scene of its happening, with one Berlin gauntlet chopped stuck in the hock of his elbow, by ancientest sign law his gesture meaning E, narrator's note, a capital E back to front, end of narrator's note, pointed at an angle of 32 degrees towards his Duc de Fer's overgrown milestone as fellow to his gauge, and after a rendy present pause, averred with solemn emotions fire, shake, comrade, me only them five ones, he is equal combat, I have won straight. Hence my nation-wide hotel and creamery establishments, which for the honors of our mutual daughters credit me, I am willing to take my stand, sir, upon the monument, that sign of our redemption, any hygienic day to this hour, and to make my oath to my sin-finners, even if I get life for it, upon the open Bible, and before the great taskmasters, I lift my hat, and in the presence of the deity itself, and well of Bishop and Mrs. Mitchin of High Church of England, as of all such have said my immediate withdwellers, and of every living soul, in every corner wheresoever of this globe in general, which useth of my British to my backbone tongue and commutative justice, that there is not one tittle of truth, allow me to tell you, in that purest of fib fabrications. Gaping Gill, swift to mate Arthur's, stern to check self, diagnosing through Eustace tube that it was to make with a markedly post-puberal hypertituitary type of Heidelberg man-like cavern ethics, lufted his sloping forward, bad sviatagore, good morrow, and double notch onto it, as he was greedily obliged, and like a sensible ham, with infinite tact in the delicate situation, seen the touchy nature of its perilous theme, thanked him for guilders received in time of day, not a little token a buck all the same, that was how the god's clock it was, and upon humble duty to greet his Tiskminster, and he shall gild the gap-gaper and thee his amouldy voids, went about his business, whoever it was, saluting corpses as a matter of course. One could hound him out, had one heart to, for the monticules of scalp and dandruff droppings blaze his trail, accompanied by his trusty snorler and his permanent reflection, verbi gracious, I have met with you, bird, too late, or if not, too worm and early. And, with tag for Iliad, repeated in his second-mouth language as many of the big-timers' verbatim words, which he could barely call to memory that same kveld eve, ere the hour of the twattering of the bards in the twitter-litter between Druidia and the deep-sleep sea, when supper-tide and souvenir to Charlotte and Mal jointly came gently, and along the quiet darkenings of grand and royal, flitmans flew, and crept the hedge, when as to many a soft tongue's pawky talk, mood answer o softer pogio. Arvanda always acquiescent, while studying castles in the blown, and studying cow shots over the Norren, he spat, in careful convertedness, a mosaic dispensation about his hearth stone, if you please, Irish saliva, more shade of holly. But would a respectable, prominently connected fellow of Iro-European ascendances with well-dressed ideas who knew the correct thing, such as Mr. Shall We Sigh or Mr. Shall We Laugh, expectorate after such a callous fashion no thank yous when he had his belcher spucker tuck in his pocket puck? News fed with his tuckets, after having supped of the dish sot and pottage which he snobbishly dabbed Peach Bombay, it is rawly only Luke and Pook and Pilsen pie, which she knows, which senaft and peepered him. A supreme of excelling peas, boiled under Minshog's milk into white malt wine sour, a proviant the little bilker hoarsely relished chappet in the snevel season, being as fain out as your rat with fennel. And on this celebrating occasion of the happy escape, for a crowning of pot valiance, this regional platter, Benjamin of Buies, with a spolish olive to middle point its zenith, was marrying itself Porco Grasso, airbusked very deluxiously, with a bottle of Finis Brewery 98, followed for second nuptials by a Peace Porter Grand Cur, of both of which cherished table lights, though humble the banquet, 'tis a layman's farewell. He obdurately sniffed the cobweb-crusted corks. Our cad's bit of strife, me, Bernice, Max Welton, with a quick ear for spittoons, as the aftertale hath it, glained up as usual with domestic husbandry. No Persics and Armelians for thee, Pomeranzia. But slipping the clav in her claw, broke of the matter among 111 others in her usual curtsy. How faint these first vespers womanly are, a secret bispigliando amad the lavery den of their manfolka. The next night nudge one, as was hegesippus over a huppachee, her eyes dry and small and speech thicklish because he appeared a funny colour, like he couldn't stood the old hens no longer, to her particular reverend, the director, whom she had been meaning in her mind primarily to speak with, hosh, intra, jist a timblespoon, trusting between coupled lips and Annie Laurie promises, may she never have Esna Kerry puddin' come honin' off for her pickle bitchin'. But the gospel, so delivered in his epistolier, buried teetoastily in their Irish stew, would go no further than his Jesuit's cloth. Yet, in Venar's Venitas, Volatiles Valetotum, it was this overspoiled priest, Mr. Brown, disguised as a Vincentian, who, when seized of the facts, was overheard, in his secondary personality as a Nolan, and under-eared, Paul's soul by accident, if, that is, the incident it was an accident, for here the roar of Ecclectiastes of Hippo outpuffs the Ritrus of Hava Banana. To Pianissime, a slightly varied version of Crooked Rib's confidentials, what Mère Aloise said, but for Jesuphine's sake, hands between her hands in fealty sworn, my braver best, my frower, and to the strains of the secret of her birth, hushly pierced the ruby end or realm of one Philly Thurnston, a lay teacher of rural science and orthophonetics, of a near stout figure, and about the middle of his 40s, during a priestly flutter for safe and sane bets at the hippic run fields of Breezy Baldoyle on a date, W.W. goes through the card, easily capable of remembrance by all pickers-up of events national and Dublin details, the doubles of Perkin and Pollock, peer and pro, when the classic Encourage Hackney plate was captured by two noses in a stable-cloth finish, eck and neck, some and none, evelo nevelo, from the cream coat, bold boy Cromwell, after a clever getaway by Captain Chaplain Blunt's Roe Hinney St. Dalloch, drummer coxswain on the pick third, at breakneck odds, thanks to you, great little bonny little porty little Winnie Widger, you're all their nappies, who in his never-ripped modern purpular cap was surely leagues unlike any other phantom weight that ever toppeth our timber maggies. 'Twas two-piece and unce Timgoves, the wetter is pest, the wrens are overton come, and the volks of the turfer is hurled on our land. Of the name of Treacle Tom, as was just out of pop following the theft of a leg of Keogh, Donnelly and Pakenham's Finnish pork, and his own blood and milk brother, Frisky Shorty, he was, to be exquisitely punctilious about them, both Shorty and Frisky, a tipster come off the hulks, both of them awful poor, what was out on the bum around for an oofbird game for a Jimmy a Goblin or a small thicken, as chanced, while the Seaforth was making the Colleen ball, to ear the passon in the motor clubber, make use of his law language, edzo, edzo, and touching the case of Mr. Adams, what was in all the Sundays about it, which he was rubbing noses with, and having a gurgle of his own along of the butty bloke in the specs. This Treacle Tom, to whom reference has been made, had been absent from his usual wild and woolly haunts in the land of counties Capolines for some time previous to that. He was, in fact, in the habit of frequenting common lodging houses, where he slept in a nude state, hail fellow with meth, in strange men's cots. But on race night, Blotto, after diverse tots of Hellfire, Red Biddy, Bulldog, Blue Ruin, and Creeping Jenny, Eglandine's choicest herbage, supplied by the Duck and Doggies, the Galloping Primrose, Bridget Brewster's, the Cock, the Postboy's Horn, the Little Old Man's, and All Swell That Aims Swell, the Cup and the Stirrup, he sought his well-warmed Yabba-Bo bed in a housing room, abide with one another at Block WW. Why didn't he back it? Pump caught the liberties, and what with Maltapuke on Voltapuke, re-snored alcoherently to the burden of I come, my horse delayed, nom nom, the substance of the tale of the evangelical Bussy Buzzy and the Russinurbian, the girls he would keep calling them for the collarette and skirt, the sunbonnet and carnation. In parts, it seemed he was